Welcome to CompTIA's Shark Bites podcast with Alan Shark, Executive Director at the Public Technology Institute.
Hello, everyone. This is Alan Shark, and welcome to another episode of Shark Bites, the podcast that deals with technology issues having to do with technology leadership, mostly for local government, but we can't escape the fact that it also impacts state and federal governments. And the topics that we have chosen over the last year kind of embrace all. The last episode, we started talking about NEEM. And for some, perhaps this is the first time you may have heard about them, but NEEM stands for the National Information Exchange Model. And so if you're curious, please go back to episode before this, and I think you'll get a nice introduction. This episode, we're going to take the discussion a step further. With us today is Catherine Escobar, who is Managing Director of NEEM, also works for the for the Department of Defense. We have Mike Phillips, co-chair of NEEM's Tiger Team, works, has his own company, and Paul Wormley, President Emeritus of IGIS, wears many hats, and he returns to Shark Bites. This will be his third time. So thank you all for rejoining us. When we left the last episode, we were talking about, you know, the impact to local government and what, how this might impact them and what they should be looking for. And I know, Mike, you wanted to weigh in, so I'm going to let you lead with that.
Yeah, we earlier set the stage of what NEEM was and why we thought it was important. But really, when it really gets down to it, if we're dealing with state and local government, you know, cities and counties, and you've got the poor CIO out there, you know, struggling to make ends meet and make all these connections and all the demands on them to share information. And you have the chief data officers tasked with trying to come up with what's the most efficient and economical way to make these connections. So we found that identifying scenarios, real life scenarios that they have to deal with, and then showing them how NEEM can help, really opens the door and is something they can wrap their minds around and share with their stakeholders. So let's have an example. God forbid a building blows up in their town, you know. So that cuts across a lot of domains. You know, you've got fire, you've got police, you know, so law enforcement, healthcare, all of those first responders are there and they need to share information about what they're finding. They need to let the hospitals know, get ready. You know, it looks like we've got mass casualties, you know, or maybe we need to involve multiple hospitals. Maybe we need to call in extra fire from other towns. You know, how do we leverage all of these resources in the most effective way? And the only way to do that is to share information in a consistent way. You can't figure it out when it happens, you know, and so that's the kind of example where we can come in and lay it out and use NEEM. There may be some existing exchanges already written. And one of the beauty of NEEM is that when a government addresses something like this, they can post it up on a shared site and other governments then can download it and reuse it. So they're not having to reinvent the wheel. So, and then we're seeing the same thing like in child and family services, a caseworker needs to cut across domains like justice. They need to, the probation officer needs to let them know right away that little Johnny was pulled over, you know, or dealing with mental health for little Johnny, you know, and so all these things cut across. And these are things that people can understand. They're real life scenarios that, by coming together as a community, we can create these exchanges once and everybody can benefit from them.
Super. You know, I'm surprised so many ways. You know, my students, because of television and all the programs that we see, just assume that information sharing is always there. I mean, how many times do we watch a suspense movie or a television series where you see one person dedicated doing nothing but looking up records of every type, everywhere, anywhere in the world, anytime, effortlessly within microseconds. Mm-hmm. Now, those of us in technology know that it isn't always so easy. So if I'm a CIO of a local government or even a state agency, where would I begin? I mean, one thing is you have a wonderful website. And for those who are not familiar, it's just go to NIEM, N-I-E-M, NIEM.gov. They have a wealth of resources. And on PTI's webpage, PTI.org, we're going to list some in addition to make it a little bit easier for navigation. So where does one begin, other than just knowing what you do and where you are?
Well, I think that's where you do begin, is going to NIEM.gov, because on NIEM.gov, there are introductory pieces that explain more about what it is and how it works and how the governance process works and that sort of thing. But through NIEM.gov, you can also get to resources for online training, for example. There are quite a few very good little videos that explain all the different aspects of NIEM. And some of these are designed for executives. There's a simple one that's a 3-minute summary that says, what is NIEM? But there are also more detailed things for developers that allow you to get into how do you build a message specification using the NIEM tools. And also through NIEM.gov and other resources that we'll list for you, you can get access to the tools that people have built. The federal government has actually funded the development of a lot of tools that are free to use and available online. So you can actually automate the production of a message specification, as we're calling it, without having to, you know, to know all that much about it. You can create a little spreadsheet to download the data elements from NIEM and see what data do I want in my exchange and how do I put that together. The model itself, the syntax for defining all these vocabulary data elements is posted on there. So you can immediately look and see what's already been normalized or harmonized across domains. And then you don't have to reinvent that wheel. For just simple example, like, you know, their names will show you who the authoritative source is for defining the abbreviations for state, right? And the address, the postal service is the authority for defining address. So all of those code tables are shown in there. So you don't have to reinvent them. If you're going to build a new system to exchange data from X to Y, you can just use the NIEM definitions that are already there and the syntax and not recreate your own. This is how cost is really reduced radically from...
Well, to me, Paul, listening to all this, cost and time, and I think I know the answer to my next question is, how much does it cost?
It's free.
See, that is music to a CIO's ears. that's good news. Mike,
the tools are
and
free.
Not only is it free, Paul and I roll up our sleeves and we have a little roadshow. You know, we offer to CIOs and CDOs and we'll get one-on-one with them in a meeting like this, you know, on a web meeting, and talk with all the stakeholders and help them understand.
And Catherine will even help people get started. There is a contact us address that we'll post on your website where you have a question or you have a need for assistance to get started. You can send that message to the contact us, you know, site, and you'll get an answer from some part of the NIEM organization about how to move forward. So there are people to answer your questions about it, but also the resources are there to learn from an executive's perspective, from a developer's perspective, and from a user's perspective of how to take advantage of NIEM.
So it sounds like I have found the second religion in technology. The first group is all the GIS people who you talk to them. They're always smiling and they're trying to visualize stuff for you. I've been very much involved with them, but what I'm seeing with you is the same smiles that, you know, you're really excited by this. I mean, you see the potential, you live it, and probably because you saw what life was like without it. And so now you're in this evangelical mode to get the word out.
We're evangelicals because we know that this touches people's lives. This can save lives and improve the quality of life of people by sharing information in a timely and accurate way.
And just to make those GIS people happy, Alan, we want you to know that there's a GIS component in NEEM. We've actually come up with those standard definitions for terms in GIS, and they're included in NEEM.
So now I'm getting excited listening to the three of you. This is episode 2. And for those who haven't heard it, please go back because you're going to get a much more complete picture of what is being discussed here. But the question comes out, why isn't this being more widely used? I mean, it just sounds too good to be true.
Well, I'm going to answer that a little bit, and then I'm going to ask Catherine to add to it. But I think in the early days of NEEM, the earlier versions, it was a little complicated. It was hard to, and we actually put on a lot of in-person classes to teach developers how to use it. It took a while to learn it. And, you know, because it does rely on this use of standards and the use of standardized data elements, some people found that it maybe took them a little longer to plan for this use than just getting a couple programmers together and say, hey, create this connection. And, you know, when without executives realizing that that was a false economy, because that was the most costly way to do it, it took a while to get people to realize and change the culture, basically, to say, let's think a little smarter about how we build these systems. So, and there was also some complexities early on that were just caused by the fact that it was new. Unfortunately, some people who tried it, you know, 10 years ago, got discouraged by that. And well, you know, after 10 years, we think we've solved a lot of those obstacles with the UML model and other ways to make it simpler to use and better tools. But now we have to let people know that times have changed. It is easier to use. We are moving forward with ways that'll make it even easier. Catherine, you want to add to that?
Sure, I'd absolutely love to. So one of the things I want to touch just a little bit first, one of the things most people don't fully appreciate is that computers left to their own are pretty stupid. They only do what the humans tell them. So, and this is, like you said, many of your students don't really fully understand what happens in the magic box behind the, you know, the curtain. And so one of the examples that I always give is, you know, when you're trying to relay information, let's say something as simple as the word tank, and T-A-N-K. So maybe one organization defines that as something that holds water. In the DOD, we often refer to it as something that, you know, has is a big metal shooting vehicle in war. Those are vastly different definitions, but they're spelled the exact same way and left, you know, computer to computer. It would not understand how to do that translation. Again, NEEM really brings in that harmonization to be able to share the information across those domains. To answer your question more directly about why is this the best kept secret, if you will, I would say it's a combination. So one would be education. To Paul's point, you know, a lot of folks maybe had looked at this 15 years ago and they said, that's not for me, not mature enough, whatever. And they just retain that knowledge instead of coming back to the table and reevaluating. Other would be competition and lack of understanding about what NEEM actually does and provides as a complement to existing standards, as opposed to a competition of those standards. And the other thing is, NEEM is, no kidding, an open source community. Yes, the DOD manages the managing office, if you will, to kind of make sure that the organization continues to run. But the community defines the project. The community defines the model and the definitions and harmonize and work together. So with that said, the budget is fairly small. We don't have big budget dollars to go out with commercials like IBM or Northrop Grumman or, you know, some of the real big entities out there who are delivering software solutions. And so like this particular podcast, these are our mechanisms for being able to spread the good word and word of mouth, of course. So we do the best that we can getting the information out there, and one implementation at a time, one believer at a time.
So I guess you answered a question I was going to ask, because one way to get people to use more is to have demonstration projects and pilots. But usually those pilots cost money. And so you've answered my question. You don't have those resources. But if you did, I suspect you, this would help jumpstart in some of these areas for people to actually see and feel by looking at those actual cases. The other thing comes to mind, have you considered possibly even offering a certification in NEEM to kind of get people so that there's an incentive to get that professional affiliation?
Yes, actually, one of the things that we have launched out this year is talking to our community about establishing an ongoing recurring set of resources for training and getting the trainers established and getting the organizations to recognize about, I want to say, and Paul, Mike, you can help me with this time-wise because it predates me, but about 10 years ago, the IGIS Institute actually offered a recurring class that was recognized by ISC Squared for continuing education credits. So there's been some ground laid in this area, and we look to revive that over the coming years.
I can tell you that this is going to be in my core curriculum now. So you've got one university. I'm going to put this in my my little syllabus for next semester for sure.
And we definitely have some resources to help you build that curriculum. In fact, we just launched with the National Defense University in their project management course, which is aimed to hit about 80,000 people this year that are required to take that. So we're getting the good word out.
So maybe we can.
We're looking to provide sources of potential funding. There's grant dollars now starting to come about. And I just saw one come out from the Agency of Children and Families to recognize innovations in data exchanges and through the use of standards. And so I'm helping the state of New Mexico to reply to that grant, because they're going to start creating data exchanges with NEEM for children and family, the CWIS projects that they're doing with the federal government. So there is some money starting to surface, and we want to be a catalyst to connect the dots between state and local and money to help jumpstart their programs.
Yeah, I would think that NIST and the National Science Foundation would be prime candidates to kind of collaborate and figure out ways to get the word out. And it's really not getting the word out. It's getting people to use it, getting people to use it. And then because once it starts getting used, it has a life of its own. So that gets back to domains. What is the people factor in all of this? What is the governance model for NEEM? Does each domain have its own, you know, user group that kind of watches over that? Or is it just one governing body?
No, it's derived from the users, just like you just said. I think the really interesting point is that the first initial of NEEM is national, not federal, national. That's very intentional to say that this is a national organization, a community of interests pulled together to improve this kind of thing. So the governance model that we came up with originally is still in place. And that is having a very small executive steering committee at the upper level, composed of the CIOs from Departments of Justice, Health and Human Services, DOD, and DHS, and then a small but mighty management staff that Catherine heads up to sort of manage control the expansion of the whole program. But then there are committees that are formed from working groups from the various domains. There's only two really working committees, the Business Architecture Committee, where all the data harmonization takes place, and the Technical Architecture Committee, where all the technical work of building the model takes place. And those two committees are composed of representatives from all the domains. So this is a user-defined solution coming to play that engages the communities at all levels of government. I like to think about the voices of NEEM representing federal, state, local, tribal, territorial, and the private sector, including, you know, organizations, for example, that belong to the IGES Institute, who are actively engaged in supporting NEEM. And that includes some big companies and little companies. So it's not geared towards the big government or big industry. It's geared toward the community of users and the practitioners involved in all these levels of government play the primary role in deciding what needs to be shared and therefore how NEEM should be constructed.
Do you ever get into issues such as rights? I mean, one of the big issues of information sharing is not just the framework, but who has access, under what conditions, for how long, all those kind of things, because part of that's security. I mean, there are certain domains that there's a hierarchy of folks that probably should be involved. There are people who probably should not be involved whatsoever. When I say involved, have access. So do you get into access issues at all in the frameworks?
We provide the tools for controlling access, but there's nothing in NEEM eliminates the necessity of having a memorandum of agreement or some common understanding of the privileges that you have to access this data. You have to do that work if you're ever going to do an exchange anyway, no matter how you do it technically. You know, if you're going to exchange data between schools and law enforcement, they have to come together and write some kind of policy that says, okay, here's the circumstances under which I can have access to your data. NEEM then gives you a way to implement those policies.
Okay, perfect. Perfect, perfect. So let's talk a little bit as we wind down here, artificial intelligence, because that's kind of the octopus of data. You know, it's just as taking all these things in terms of geographic information, explicit, implicit data from all data sources. How do you see the framework NEEM in working in harmony with AI initiatives? I'm going to turn that to Catherine.
So AI initiatives often rely on ontologies for the computers to be able to run the algorithms and come up with whatever it is you're training your algorithms to do, right? But again, at the baseline, at the core, when you're talking about tank, you want to know the tank coming in from this data source and tank coming in from the second data source means the same thing. You have to normalize that. And that's where NEEM really plays a role. And it's interesting also, you had mentioned NIST earlier. So one of the earlier, before it was called artificial intelligence, you know, big data, right? So NIST has several volumes to help, as a framework, guide how to implement big data and ultimately for artificial intelligence. And NEEM is listed in volume 7 of the NIST big data framework. So it is recognized by other standards organizations, ANSI-based, OASIS, NIST, and in a variety of different ways and uses. So with artificial intelligence, an additional thing you should be aware of is we are working with the founder of the Basic Formal Ontology, which is a standard used internationally. And we're doing some mapping between the ontology and NEEM and how those two would work together. And so again, creating those complementary resources as opposed to competing.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. Well, we're just about out of time. This has been a fascinating discussion. For those who are interested, by all means, please go to neem.gov. You'll learn an awful lot. It's a great starting point. Any closing thoughts from any of you, Mike?
Oh, just on cybersecurity, for instance, the artificial intelligence, we're working now to figure out how to connect that intelligence to the data it needs to do predictive analysis and get ahead of the bad actors. You know, so the NEEM structure that cyber is creating, you know, why would we reinvent that? We're going to plug into that with these tools and then work with them to enrich them. So there's so many scenarios, and our challenge is to prioritize them with the people in the front lines, the CIOs and the CDOs. And so where can we best focus our energies to get the most bang for the buck out of NEEM?
All right, Paul.
Well, I just have one closing comment about somewhere around 25 years ago, there was an article in one of the major magazines like US News or something that where some expert said, you know, this artificial intelligence stuff that's coming along, there's probably 2,000 new applications of it that we haven't even imagined. Well, that number was reached in the next 10 days, probably. Yeah. And, you know, we don't know yet what can be done. But the fundamental notion here of efficiently sharing information to support a collaborative effort to solve social problems is yet to be imagined by us. But NEEM gives you a way to start down that road.
Perfect. Catherine, you get the last word.
Ah, well, thank you. So I would say if you want to learn more about NEEM, we have a variety of social media outlets to engage. You can find some of our videos on YouTube. We have LinkedIn, where we have an active conversation. We have Twitter, NEEM.gov. And if you want to get started, just hit that connect with us or contact us button, and we will definitely be calling you back and helping you with your way forward, whatever your implementation is.
And thank you very much, Alan, for inviting us to this dialogue. We appreciate it.
Yeah, yes. you've gotten me excited. So this is a part two of Shark Bites, where we're dealing and learning about NEEM. We're so fortunate today to have Catherine Escobar, Managing Director of NEEM. Again, NEEM stands for National Information Exchange Model. And then we have Mike Phillips, co-chair of a Tiger team that's looking into local government, tribal, and all that stuff, and trying to find better ways to get adoption. Has principal his own company, SLG, and Paul Wormley, president emeritus of IGIS, has all sorts of wonderful awards and the like. Thank you all for being with us again today.
Thank you.
A pleasure.
This has been a production of PTI, the Public Technology Institute. To learn more, visit pti.org.